And we're joined on the line now by Uri Goren, who is the cousin of hostage Tal Haimi and is also an active voice in the Hostages and Missing Families Forum to talk about where things stand and how this Israel-Iran war is affecting efforts to bring the hostages home. Uri, thank you so much for joining us. What went through your mind when you heard about the recovery of these three bodies?
Well, first of all, I am glad for their families. I know the families. I know them closely. And the fact that each of those families have a chance now to find some closure, some solace, move on. They know where their loved one is. I think it brings a lot of comfort. So that is the first thing that I think about the people that I know. But the next thought that I have running through my mind is that we have to remember, and this is what I always remember, that in order to bring these hostages back, a lot of efforts have been done, but also a lot of soldiers' lives have been put on the line in order to bring them back. And I find this discomforting, because I feel there is a way to bring all the hostages back, and definitely all the murdered hostages, and that is by reaching a deal.
I just want to tell our listeners a little bit about the three. One was Ofer Kaidar, who was 70 years old, a Kibbutz Be'eri resident and a former agricultural worker. There was Sergeant Shai Levinson, who was 19 years old, an IDF staff sergeant. And also Yonatan Samarano, who was 21 years old, a young DJ and music producer. And actually, it was Yonatan's father who said on Instagram, he spoke of relief and pride on Yonatan's birthday, calling the IDF and the Shin Bet operation heroic. Uri, did we know that the three were dead? And were they found as part of an actual operation, or were they kind of stumbled upon, I guess?
No, there's no stumbling upon hostages' bodies. There, it was definitely a deliberate operation that was carefully planned. And I'm 100% certain there were a lot of preparations in order to get there, because, as we know, the Hamas is treating the murdered hostages just as valuable as the living hostages. So, of course, they're keeping them guard. And in order to get there without Hamas rigging the place or you know, killing soldiers in the process, then, of course, there's a lot of careful preparation. But you asked to hear about the people, and I'm glad you did. I'm the closest with Yonatan Samarano's family. I know his parents fairly well. And he was a DJ. He was up and coming. He used to organize parties in Tel Aviv, and a lot of his friends often describing as, you know, the heart of the party. And he was able to escape. Him and a few friends were able to escape from the Nova Festival, and they reached Kibbutz Be'eri, and they were ambushed. And on the gate, as they were waiting for the gate to open, they were shot at close range, and their bodies were taken. And Yonatan himself was actually documented by the surveillance cameras by being taken by an UNRWA worker, the UN agency that was supposed to help Palestinians in Gaza. One of their workers participated in the murder and the kidnapping. Yonatan Shai Levinson, he was a young soldier. He was a tank commander. His tank fought all the four crew members fought really just bravely on that day, literally until they couldn't fight anymore. They were a single tank that drove to the Nova Fest on their own and pretty much took charge. You know, it was, they were on a heroic mission to save as many lives as possible, until they succumbed to dozens of terrorists. And Shai himself was a volleyball player. He was a tall guy. He was a peace activist. And but he, as you know, like many others, took upon himself to go to the IDF, defend his country, and sadly, died heroically. And then lastly, Ofra was a very beloved member of Kibbutz Be'eri. And as you've said, she was an educational figure. She was a grandmother. Her husband was also murdered that morning. And finally, she'll be laid back to rest in Kibbutz Be'eri.
Odi, thank you for that, because, you know, one says three bodies. I don't even think bodies is the right term, but, you know, three Israelis get returned, and there's just so many tragic human stories, and each one as devastating as the next. What has been happening in Israel since the war with Iran started? Has the focus on the hostages shifted, or is it still carrying on? We just don't hear about it so much.
No, you're right in the sense of saying that you don't hear about it that much, because all the public's attention and the government's attention has gone to Iran. And, you know, I would say in a way, when I think about the public, rightfully so, we have attacks on Israel that we've never seen before, you know, ballistic missiles that even if you are in a safe room, you're not safe if a missile lands close enough, and people have been killed in their safe rooms. And people in a way are kind of going back to October 7th in the sense of urgency and you know, real fear for their lives. Thousands have lost their homes in the past week, so of course it's a lot of the public's attention goes there. And I would say in terms of the government, all the efforts are also directed at Iran right now. And I think there is an aspiration that when Iran is no longer such a key player in supporting Hamas, then Hamas would also be more lenient in coming to terms with putting down their arms and finally giving back the hostages and ending this war.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you is, on the one hand, are you concerned that every time Israel strikes Iran, Hamas could be retaliating by taking out their frustration and worsening the conditions on the hostages? Or do you think in the bigger picture, this might actually bode well for the hostages?
I am not concerned that they would take it out on the hostages. I know it for fact. I know it for fact because we know from the returned hostages that every time that something like this happens, every time that Israel strikes Gaza, every time that something major happens that affects Hamas, they take it out on them. We know this for fact. And this is why I think we must prioritize bringing out all the hostages before anything else. Now, in terms of how this would change the stalemate that the negotiation is right now, it's a good question. I think at the end of the day, you know, Hamas is on its last leg, and if they haven't given up so far, I think we, Israel, we have to prioritize. We have to make sure that we do everything in our power to bring out the hostages before anything else, because the war against Hamas, confronting Hamas, this is going to be a long-term thing. Hamas is not going anywhere in the sense that it is so embedded, the idea and the infrastructure and the command over the Gazans is so embedded with in Gaza that it would take a very long time to replace them, and we don't have this time, and we can't wait. And this is why my hopes are with the Israeli government, not with Hamas.
You did mention that the Israeli government is not prioritizing what is the situation with Gaza right now, and understandably so. I guess I want to ask you, what is the latest we know? Am I correct that we are under the impression that there are still 19 hostages who are alive? Do we have any new information on just how dire their situation is?
Well, right now we have information about at least 20 that are alive, and there's still some uncertainty as to others. We have, you know, first of all, we have returned hostages that spent many, many months with these people, and they've just returned 3 months ago. So we have all the information that they have told us. And also, of course, the IDF does a lot of work in order to gather more information, something that they can't, you know, they can't disclose it. They don't share it with the general public. But what we know for fact is that some of them are still being starved and abused. We know this for fact. We know that all of them are in a terrible condition because they haven't seen sunlight in months. They have vitamin D deficiency. They have horrible diets. They have terrible sanitary conditions. And most of them are the ones, of course, who are alive, are shackled 24/7. So, you know, they can't move. They get abused, as I've said. The whenever their captors want to take out their anger, they take it out on them. And we know this.